So good morning again. My name is Sergio, for those of you who do not know me. And I'm going to be sharing the word today with you. I was asked to talk about the theme, the conquest of the promised land. I want to take I want to narrow it down a little bit and talk about accomplishing God's given ministry in our lives. So this theme started last week with Pastor Perry. He spoke about Joshua, the leadership of Joshua, and how we could learn from that and apply it in our lives. One of the main points he made as I was listening to his sermon was that we are all, in a way or another, engaged in a position of leadership. So whatever you are, you find yourself in an organization, might be, or a school, whatever situation or position you find yourself in. And I agree with that. And also, sometimes you might claim that you're not leading anything, but also we're called to be leaders of our own lives, to lead self-controlled lives. So from that perspective, even if you're not engaged in a group, also you have to act in the ministry of leadership in one way or the other. So I want to continue in that line, and before I go to the several scriptures that I've prepared today, I would like to say a prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for your word, the word that is able to show us the places that we need to improve in our lives, especially the places that we need to improve in our walk with you. The word which is able to transform us and take us to different dimension in our walk with you and as we live as brothers and sisters. This word, oh God, is precious for us, and our hearts and our minds are open to receive and obey what you tell us, oh God, and live by the word that we're going to receive. I pray for this in the name of our Lord Jesus with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. Okay, so if you read in your Bible, in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, verse number 2, the Bible tells us here, of course in some other places also, what was Joshua's God-given ministry, or what was his task. And in this portion of the Bible, we read God speaking to Joshua. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them," to the people of Israel. So, Moses is dead by this time, and Joshua is supposed to take the people of Israel to possess the land. So this is what Joshua's life from this point on is going to be focused on. So it's a big task, it's a big mission that he receives from God. And you see this, how difficult this task was, particularly if you read from the second section of the book of Joshua. And Pastor Perez made this, has broken the book into different sections. There are four sections, but here I just want us to look at these three sections. And the first section, we see how from the first to the fifth chapter, how Joshua is given instructions about how he would lead the people. And in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, verse number 6, the Bible says there, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." So you see, God here encourages Joshua and tells him it's not going to be an easy task. So it's a difficult task that Joshua is going to be engaged in. In the second section of the book of Joshua, It is from the 6th chapter, chapter number 12. And today, the several scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you focus on this, particularly on this section, which is the second section of the book. But of course, I'll be mentioning something from the first section and even events that happened before the events that were told in the book of Joshua. So in this section, Joshua is engaged or he leads the Israelites in several battles with the Canaanites as they conquer the land. And this section sometimes might become challenging for us when we read, because you see, God tells Joshua that they should eliminate the nations that they find, and men, women, and children. And it might be a little bit disturbing as you read out those passages. But in all this instruction that Joshua receives from God to destroy those lands, we see something special there about the character of God, particularly in the story of Rahab, the city of Jericho. There is a lady in that city by name Rahab, that she received the spies from the Israelites, and she decided to surrender to this God, whom she did not know, but she had heard about. So she surrendered. And because of that, because of her faith, she and her family were saved. So we see, even in this, I'll say, chaos, God is willing to save or to receive those who want to come to Him. So this gives us comfort in the middle of all these wars and battles that are happening there. Anyone who is willing to come to God, God is open to receive them. Now, the third section, it talks about the division of the land. And then there's the last section that talks about the last words of Joshua. I said the four sections. Now, in this section, we see the second section. We see how Joshua fights his battles. And there are several lessons that you can learn from those from this portion of the Bible. These are the battles that Joshua fought, and as they were conquering the land. Now, in all these battles, there are six, in all these battles and throughout the chapters, from chapter 6 to chapter 12, there are six lessons I see as I was reading the Bible and as I was praying and I was listening to the message that was preached last week. And I want us to look at those six lessons. Some of them might overlap, but I put them that way. And I want us to learn from those different lessons and apply them in our lives as we walk with God. Are you still with me? Okay. So, I also want to be mindful of time as I talk about these six lessons. Lesson number one. I said, with God, nothing comes by accident. And one day I was listening to this American preacher. He put it this way. He said, everything that matters in life must be built. So, you must be engaged in a kind of building. You must be trained to go where God wants you to go. And I've seen that as I was reading the first chapter from verse number 5 to verse number 7. The Bible tells us there, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law, to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. So, God tells Joshua here that the same way that he was with Moses, he will be with Joshua. And Joshua had been with Moses throughout many years. And in this process, Joshua was being trained for this big task that God had for him. So Joshua didn't step into this position by accident. He had a time of training in his life, which was the time that he was following Moses, wherever he was going. And if we want to go somewhere in life, if we want to build something in life, we must be willing to go through this training. We must be willing to learn. And we must also be willing to submit ourselves to some kind of authority. And this is what becomes difficult for us most of the times. No one wants to submit themselves to anyone. We want to be lord of our own lives. But if you want to become some, if you want to go somewhere, you must be willing to be taught. You must be willing to submit. And there are two aspects that I want to highlight. I'm talking about this passage about training. The first aspect is that from this passage and from the book of Joshua, we are not told clearly that Joshua started serving or walking alongside Moses to become his successor. So the Bible didn't tell us, at least not in the beginning of his journey, that Joshua was following Moses so that he would become his successor. He was following, he was learning. And sometimes the training comes from your everyday dealings. As you work with people, as you walk in places, as you serve, this is an opportunity that God might use to train you. So you might be willing to, in any situation you find yourself, you must be willing to listen, you must be willing to learn. And because that's an opportunity that God might use to build you up. This is the first aspect. The second aspect is that sometimes the building comes through hardship. Or, if you want to put this some, a different way, the building comes through temptations or tribulations. You see, the Bible tells us for this that we might count it all joy when we go through diverse tests. So there are tests that might come in your life. And those tests, you must go through them with joy. Why the Bible tells us that you have to go through those tests with joy? Because that's also an opportunity for us to learn. God doesn't want us to go through temptations and tribulations, but God wants us to grow. And sometimes for you to grow, you might have to go through tribulations and temptations and hardships. So, hardships might be, in that sense, a way for you to learn. And the Bible tells us concerning this in the book of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter number 10. If you read verse 13, the Bible tells us, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men." So what is happening to you? The hardship you are going through, it is common to men. What does it mean here about common to men? It has happened to someone already. Or if it hasn't happened to anybody, it will happen to someone in the future. So it's not something that out of this world, out of extraordinary. It's something that happens to people. So it happened to you too. But he says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So what the temptation that comes to you, you should be able to carry it. And more importantly, with the temptation, he says, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he will give you, as the temptation come, he say, Jesus, Holy Spirit will go ahead of you and you will see the temptation that is coming your way and he will give you the tools that you need to go and face that temptation. And that might be an opportunity for you to grow. That might be an opportunity for you to teach you endurance as you are going through those temptations. So see, these are two different ways that God might use to make us go where we want to go or where he wants us to go in life. So it will not be by chance you find yourself now in a position that an important position in life, or you find yourself where God wants you to be in life, it will not be by chance. There must be a process of sharpening. There must be a time of training before you can reach there. So this is the first aspect. The second aspect is that faith is demonstrated in acts of obedience through complete submission. You know, when we come to God, at the beginning, when you hear about God, you come to God and, you know, we come and say, God, please help us with this. God, give us that. We have so many requests. But as we grow with in our relationship with God, we see that the most important thing in our relationship with God is not what He gives us, but it's our submission to Him. The Bible tells us that Jesus submitted to God, even unto death, the death on the cross. And that's why you and I are here in this building today, because of submission. So, you have to obey and completely submit yourself to God. This is the most important thing, I would say, in our walk with God. Not the blessings, not everything else that you might think of that might come in your life as a result maybe of being a Christian. That is not what really matters. And we see this in the book of Numbers, here talking about Joseph and Joshua and Caleb. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, verse 30, the Bible tells us, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and say, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. This happened after the 12 spies were sent to spy the land of Canaan. So they come back and bring word to Moses. And 12 people went there. But when they came back, 10 people say, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. These people are giants. We are going to perish. It would have been better if you had stayed in Egypt as slaves. But Caleb has a different perspective here. And he says, let us go, because we can overcome it. And if you go to the next chapter, God talking now of Caleb and Joshua, because the two of them had shown a different attitude in face of the challenge. The Lord says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. See? He has followed me not half-heartedly. Some of us follow God half-heartedly, not fully. And the Bible tells us here, the Lord tells us here, because Caleb has followed him fully. He saw the challenge. He had faith. And he obeyed God's commission that they should go and possess the land and submitted to God. And the Lord says, because he did this, because he had a different spirit, and as I'm reading this, it gives me a suggestion here. You need to have a spirit that teaches you submission. So you have to be careful what spirit is operating in your life. You say, Caleb had a different spirit, and this spirit led him to follow fully, to obey God. And if you read down, it says, not one shall come into the land where I saw that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So you see here, we have to demonstrate our faith in acts of obedience through complete submission. This is lesson number two. Lesson number three, God has a specific assignment for you in your family, in your school, in your job, in your office, here in this church. God has a specific assignment for you. The same way He had a specific assignment for Joshua, He has a specific assignment for you. Last week, when the sermon was preached, Pastor Perry used an example that I think is very good. So you might be in this working place. God wants to do something through you in that place, but then somewhere else they call you with better working conditions, maybe with a better salary, and then you leave because you want to go where there is better condition and better salary. But maybe that's not what God wants for you. The family that you have abandoned, you say you have swore, said this is not my family anymore. God might have, maybe God has an assignment for you for that family. And he wants to use you to change things in that family. And we see Joshua's assignment was to conquer the land. And we read here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, verse number 2. It's a repetition of what my theme verse. You say, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I have given to them, to the people of Israel. So God might have an assignment for you. He has an assignment for you for that place where you are. And it's very special and specific. And you can know about it through prayer. You can know about it through reading the scriptures. You can know about it sometimes through listening to the brothers and sisters. Sometimes a brother comes and tells you something and you brush your ears. You don't take it into consideration. But that is God bringing a sign for you for what he wants you to do. Sometimes a sister comes and tells you something. Sometimes it's an unbeliever. Someone who does not believe, he comes and tells you something and you brush your ears and you ignore it and you go on in your life. You miss your calling. There is one person who missed his calling in the Bible, or told in the book of the Bible tells us that when Samuel went to anoint a king for Israel after Saul had sinned, he got to Jesse's house, and then they brought him just Jesse's son. And then the first son, Eliab, came. And the Bible tells us, as Samuel saw Eliab, he said, surely the Lord's anointed stands before him. And he wanted to anoint him. And God said, I have rejected him. If I'm understanding this word, this English word, well, rejected, it means you reject something that you have seen, you have considered, you have studied about it, and then you reject. You cannot reject something you do not know, right? You cannot reject something you didn't consider, you didn't see. So, the Lord might probably have considered this man to do this work, but in this process, he was rejected. And David was chosen instead. See? So do not miss your assignment. Do not miss. Sometimes you can call it your calling, your purpose in life. And the danger of missing your calling, your purpose in life, is because life is too brief. We are alive today, but we'll be dead tomorrow. And we do not know when we'll be dead. It might be literally tomorrow. And it's a pity if you have missed your calling. Just look around you. How many young people, young men, young women that have missed, seems like the life they lived, they didn't live to the expectations that God had for them. If you do not know what your calling is, what your purpose is, it's not too late for you. Put some time and pray about it. Study the scriptures about it. Consult your leaders about it in church. Someone who can help you and find your purpose in life. Point number 4. If it is true that God has a specific assignment for you, what you might call a purpose or your calling, he also has equipped you with a gift to accomplish that assignment. He cannot give you an assignment and not give you the means to finish that assignment. Joshua was given means in different places, and this included the miraculous. And you see how the waters of Jordan were parted away miraculously by the hand of Joshua through the priests. And you read this story in the book of Joshua, chapter number 3, verse 15 to 16. The Bible says there, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped into the brink of the water coming down from above stopped and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. So you see, one of the equipments, one of the tools that the Lord gave Joshua to accomplish his mission was the miraculous. And the Jordan River was separated miraculously. And the Bible tells us that the waters that were coming from above, they stood far away. And those that were flowing to the sea, they continued to flow to the sea. And the people in Jericho might probably have seen this scene happening from their walls as they were watching these people come to take control over them. So, God has given you a gift. Find out what your gift is and use it to serve Him. When I came to Sherman some years ago, Pastor Perry used to tell me, not all of us are called to be in the pulpit and preach. Right? Not all of us are called to be in the pulpit. Not all of us are called to play the piano. Not all of us are called to sing. But God has a special thing for you, which might not be preaching, might not be singing, might not be any of those gifts or those people who usually are in front. And you can use that equipment that God has given you and accomplish your mission where God has called you to be. And you see here in the life of Joshua, this was the manifestation of miracles. This was a manifestation of miracles. Now, you have a gift, a special gift. Then you are unique in all respects. You are unique. Do not compare yourself to other people. You are not your father. You are not your mother. You are not your sister. You are not your pastor. You might look like your mother. You might look like your father. But you are not your father. And you are not your sister. And most of the times, it is the parents that do not understand that children are not themselves. So sometimes parents want the children to do what they do, to go where they go, to follow the career they followed. So they want their children to be themselves. But you are not your father. You are not your teacher. You are not your classmate. So stop putting that pressure on yourself. At the end of the day, you will not be your classmate and you'll not be yourself. So just be nobody. See? Because you're trying to be your classmate. So you cannot be your classmate. But you're supposed to be yourself in what God has called you to be, and you are not. You see? So spare yourself the heartache comparing yourself to other people. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6, there's this passage that I like very much. It reads there, "And now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees." Chapter 5, verse 5. This is what I want you to notice. But I had to give you some context. In verse 5, it says, "But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried, 'Alas, master, it was borrowed.'" Stop operating in a borrowed gift. Stop walking in borrowed shoes. Be yourself. You are operating in a borrowed gift if you want to compare yourself to that sister or brother who has a wonderful voice and is singing, and you also want to sing. But this is not what God has called you to. This is not your gift. You are forcing it. You want to preach. Not only you want to preach, you also want to preach like Pastor Perry. This week, Pastor Perry and I were talking about a message, and he was telling me something. And then I told him, I said, I'm not you. So I cannot do what you would do. I'm Sergio. You see? So, the devil will put you to shame in front of everyone because you are trying to operate in an area which is not yours. Because you have put yourself in a position where you're not supposed to be because of comparing yourself to other people. Acknowledge your uniqueness. Embrace your uniqueness. And love what God gave you. And be thankful for it. And appreciate God. Appreciate God for giving you. It was not a mistake. What God has given you is what you were supposed to be given. And the danger of comparing ourselves to other people. I was hearing this pastor one day preaching about the danger of trying to compare yourself to other people. Is that, don't take this very seriously, just an example. Is that maybe you came to XSCF a few months ago, maybe, and then you see Pastor Perry preaching, and you want to preach like Pastor Perry, or let me leave Pastor Perry, you want to sing like Brother Justin, you see Brother Justin singing, you want to sing like Brother Justin, but you're just here for some months. You do not know where Brother Justin was 5 years ago. You do not know where Pastor Perry was 10 years ago. So you see him today and you want to be like him. It's not possible sometimes. You cannot do it. So this is a danger to compare yourself to other people. You don't know. You do not know. You know, this classmate of yours is brilliant in school and you also want to be like them. I'm not saying we should not learn from people who are sometimes better than us. We can learn and take some lessons from them. But you do not know to which primary school this classmate of yours went. Maybe you and him didn't go to the same primary school or the same caliber of primary school. Of course, at this level now at the university, you might perform differently. It's normal. Perform with the tools that God has given you. And lastly, the last point, as I conclude, it is from, I said here, God has chosen, God has a mission for you. God has equipped you with a gift. But, as you operate in that gift, do not become very familiar or too familiar with the grace made available unto you. The grace that the Lord has given you, do not take it for granted. Some people have taken the word of God for granted. Some people, they say, I know this verse from Sunday school. I was 6 years old. I know this verse. What's God going to do? Say, Jesus is coming and taking it for granted. Now it's a lifestyle for you. The word of God, yes, it might become a lifestyle for you, but it goes beyond that. That's why the Lord Jesus told the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he said, you have made the word of God something of no effect because of your customs. So they are now accustomed with the word. You don't want to be too accustomed with Jesus. You do not want to play with the things of God. Jesus is our friend, but you do not want to be too friendly with him. And In the book of Joshua, chapter number 7, verse number 3 to verse number 5, in this portion of the Bible, what happened right after the Israelites were dealt a big victory. They got a big victory against Jericho. And now, look at what they are doing. They want, Joshua here sent some people to go to A and spy the land. And they come back to him with word. And the Bible tells us here, it says, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack A. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for there are a few. See, so now, what is their basis for deciding how to approach this war? Because people are few. This is their basis. They went there and they saw the people are few. After all, we have just won a big victory against Jericho, which are many have wars and weapons, more advanced military. So why should we bother with these ones? There are few. Sometimes you think it's just a flu. So you don't worry. It's just a flu. Nothing. It's just a small meeting. It's nothing. It's just a small mistake. God will not care. It's just a small sin. Don't take it seriously. But let us see what happened to them here. The Bible tells us, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shabarim and struck them at the descent. And the heart of the people melted and became as water. They were defeated. The moment you take your eye from Jesus and start using mathematics to calculate, you might end up in disaster. You might end up in defeat. Only because you shifted your gaze from Jesus to your own. You see, here they're looking at their own strengths. Anyway, there are few. They don't depend on God anymore. They don't want to consult from God anymore. They can handle it by themselves now. See? The moment you think you can handle it by yourself now, my brother and my sister, be careful. There might be danger in front. Be very careful. The moment you think you do not need God for this issue, be very careful. The book of Romans, chapter number 8, of course, there it talks about another issue. It addresses a different topic there. It talks about, but there's a passage that can help us in this section. And in chapter number 8, verse number 7 to 8, he says there, book of Romans, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Why did Jesus say, let the children come to me? And say, only those who look like children will enter to the kingdom of heaven. Why did he say that? Children do not calculate. If you take your child, your son or your daughter, a small child, and you throw them up, they will not be afraid. They will not care. They know. If they see that it's my father who is throwing me up, they know they are safe. But if it's an adult, if I say to someone who is, I say, jump, I'll carry you. You start seeing my muscles, right? You said you're strong enough. Maybe if it's someone like John Cena, you jump. But if it's Sergio, you will see, can Sergio really hold me? But if I tell my son will not care. How the muscles, he will not care. He'll just jump. So if you look at the flesh, you calculate those who set their minds in the flesh. There are so few. Don't worry. Let's go. Just 1,000 we'll finish this business. But the Bible tells us that this is hostility to God.
Why?
Because the flesh, therefore it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Book of Timothy, the passage I think can help us, shows us how to trust, put our trust in God. In the 6th chapter, verse 17, it says, as for the rich in the present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the certainty of riches. Don't put your hope on your account. Anyway, my money can deal with this. Anyway, this is not, this is very cheap. You can deal with it. Nothing, not a big deal. Say, riches have uncertainty. So then where should we put our hope? You say, on God. Put our hope on God. Put your trust on God. Look at the cross. Look at the blood of Jesus. It is the blood that can make you go through whatever it is that you are going through. It's not your intelligence. It's not your diploma. But it's Jesus. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a born-again Christian who lives in full submission to the will of God, then it is only Jesus. It is only the blood that was shed. Your hope for your salvation is the blood that was shed. And it says here about this passage, it says, God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. May the Lord bless us today. And these are the six lessons I want us to take. If you go and read the book of Joshua by yourself, in those couple of portions, you see this. This might make more sense to you. I pray God help us to be careful to live according to these instructions that are from the text, and can help us in our walk with the Lord. Amen. In summary, I talk about 6 points, and for accomplish whatever ministry that God has given you to accomplish in life. And number one, I said, with God, nothing comes by accident. Number two, I said, faith is demonstrated in acts of obedience through complete submission. Number three, I said, God has a specific assignment for you. Some people call it calling. Some people call it purpose. And God has equipped you with a gift to accomplish that assignment. And number five, I said, you are unique in all respects. So you don't have to put yourself under pressure comparing yourself to other people. Number six, I said, be careful not to become very familiar with the grace made available unto you. I want us to take some time to pray. Maybe you still have some time, maybe next 3 to 5 minutes. And I would like to hear, to get a background song and... I'm not so sure if you can play or... I want to pray. I want us to pray and ask God to help us. God to help us. No matter how hard we might try, sometimes it's difficult to live following God's standards. And any aspect that you think you might need to improve in this area... I want you to pray and ask God to help you. And also ask God to help you. As I was speaking, maybe some of us had difficulty to understand the different scriptures that I've read for you. But not called to understand. We are called to believe. So pray that God will help you to believe the scripture. And live according to them. Let us pray.